in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. We've been on this series. We started this series on Monday. Very timely and timeless teaching series. It's titled Understanding and Activating the Prophetic. Praise God. I say praise God. Today will be part 4. Praise God. How many of you are getting blessed by the teaching series? Understanding and Activating the Prophetic, Part 4. You see, like I said earlier, there is so much confusion, controversies, misunderstanding on the subject of the prophetic ministry. And one of the aim of this teaching series is to bring so much light, revelation and understanding based on the word of God from a scriptural standpoint. Hallelujah. And bring a lot of corrections and balance and correct errors. Praise God. To save you from deception and to help you to gain proper understanding. Praise God. Write this down. 7 types of prophecy. Can you still remember the definition of prophecy? We say prophecy is a what? Holy Spirit inspired utterance in a known language, okay? And that utterance is impregnated with what? The power of God. Praise God. To prophesy, we said it means what? What does it mean to prophesy? What does it mean to prophesy? To speak forth, utter or declare anointed words. Under what? The influence or inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Words inundated with power. For the purpose of what? Bringing edification, exhortation and what? Comfort to the people. Hallelujah. And we said the gift of prophecy brings those 3 things when in operation. The gift of prophecy brings what? Edification, exhortation, and what? Comfort. And we said there is a difference between the gift of prophecy in operation, spirit of prophecy, prophetic grace, and what? Bring the volume very low. Praise God. And what? The office of a prophet. The office of a prophet is not the same as the gift of prophecy in manifestation. Every believer, I mean every believer, every one of you here under the anointing,
can function with the gift of prophecy. You can covet that gift, can manifest that gift, but it does not necessarily make you a prophet. Am I communicating? That somebody is operating even the revelation gifts occasionally, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirit, does not automatically make the person a prophet. Praise God. We said the office of a prophet is an election of grace. It's one of the fivefold ministry gifts in Ephesians 4:11-13 that God bequeathed, Jesus bestowed upon the church, graciously granted the church. You must be called, you must be chosen, you must be commissioned, separated, set apart into that office by God, by God's choice. Am I communicating? God told Jeremiah, before I called you in your mother's womb, I knew thee. Okay, he said, before you were brought forth, I have ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. You see, it wasn't Jeremiah's decision to be a prophet. It was his discovery. It was God's decision. His job is to discover and align. Praise God. I say, praise God. There is no Bible school or school of ministry that you can attend to become a prophet or to become any of the persons called to the fivefold ministry. Rather, it is when you discover your calling that you can be trained accordingly in Bible school. Am I communicating? Even the school of the prophets is for those that are called to the prophetic ministry. Then you can now train them accordingly. It's not the training that makes you a prophet. Mm-mm. The calling is decided by God. Then you can then be trained accordingly. Are you seeing this? This is very important. Glory to God. And we say the counterfeit of prophecy is what? The counterfeit version of a genuine prophecy from God is what? Divination or soothsaying or what? Huh? Fortune telling, yes. That is a counterfeit demonic version of a genuine prophetic operation. You know, the spirit of divination that sponsors soothsaying, that spirit of divination, it can find a wide range of expression. You also see that spirit at work in form of familiar spirits. Am I communicating? Those that practice spiritism, those that conduct medium, sorcery, witchcraft, wizardry. Am I communicating? Astrology. You know, these are various manifestations of that spirit of divination. Praise God. We said the Holy Spirit is not the only access to the realm of the spirit. Is the legal entrance for a believer, the legal entrance, the legal doorway to the spiritual realm is through the Holy Spirit. But there are many other illegal ways people can access the realm of the spirit and know things supernaturally. Okay, demonic spirits can help people to access the realm of the spirit and know things supernaturally. And this is where familiar spirit operation, spirit of divination, soothsaying, and all of that, they come in. The only difference, see, the main difference, there are many differences. Watch this. Somebody that is genuinely prophesying, okay, watch this. is able to know things supernaturally. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is granting him access legally to the spirit realm. The Holy Ghost is revealing those things to him. So he's knowing them by the Holy Spirit. But the soothsayer or the fortune teller or the diviner is under the influence of the spirit of divination, not the Holy Spirit. So they are able to know things supernaturally and give those false prophecies. Am I communicating? They are able to give those oracles and omens of divination. They are able to do so with the help of that spirit of divination. Are you seeing this? And the things they are saying that is being revealed to them may be true or may not be true. It's not always false. It can be very true. It can be a true statement. But it's not the Holy Spirit that they use to assess those things. Are you seeing this? Like the case we saw yesterday, the lady, the slave girl in Acts 16 that was possessed with the spirit of divination. You can see that spirit of divination revealed to her that Paul and his company, right? They were servants of God. Was that true or false? True. They have come to show us the way of salvation. Was that true or false? True. So the things that was revealed were true. But the spirit that revealed those information to them supernaturally was not the spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is called the spirit of truth. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's a spirit of divination. Python spirit. Python is a snake. And I told you the first manifestation of Satan in Genesis 3 was as a serpent. Am I communicating? And serpents are known for wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge. So that Python spirit was able to give that slave girl supernatural knowledge and information beyond this realm, from the spirit realm, about Paul and Silas. True statement, but not from the spirit of truth. So that was why we said the fact that something revealed is true does not necessarily mean the person is operating with the Holy Spirit. Because the realm of the spirit is like a market. There are so many spirits that are functioning there. It's not only the Holy Spirit. This is why native doctors, false prophets, diviners and all of that, they can know things supernaturally. Am I communicating? They can assess the realm of the spirit too. But they don't know everything. Am I communicating? They have their limitations too. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Okay, let me give you this. Then we'll look at a case study of Balaam. The legendary Balaam. Okay? 7 types of prophecy. Number 1, confirmatory prophecy. The first is confirmatory prophecy. Praise God. To confirm. Confirmatory prophecy. Praise God. Praise God. I'm talking of genuine prophecy now. From the Holy Spirit. Not divination. Praise God. Not soothsaying. Confirmatory prophecy. This is the type of prophecy that confirms and verifies what one already knows. It confirms and verifies what one already knows. Praise God. Praise God. confirmatory prophets. Confirmatory prophets. It confirms what you already know is true. Praise God. It verifies it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is it clear? It's as simple as that. Then write this too. Confirmatory, or still under confirmatory prophecy. It confirms what the Holy Spirit has already told you. It also confirms what the Holy Spirit already told you. Praise God. Let me give you a very good example. Acts chapter 21, verse 10. Acts 21, verse 10. Are you there? Follow me carefully. Acts 21, verse 10. It says, "And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus." This was a prophet in the New Testament. Praise God. I say praise God. Next verse. "And when he was come unto us," that's prophet Agabus, "he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owned this girdle." Who owns that girdle? Paul, Apostle Paul. "And shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." By this prophetic dramatization, you know, sometimes prophets do some drama like that to pass message across. By this, it just came, Prophet Agabus took Paul's girdle and he bound his own hand and his foot. He said, "Thus saith the Lord, so shall the Jews in Jerusalem," look at it, "they will bind the hand of the one that owned this girdle and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." He just passed the message across. Praise God. He just gave a revelatory, this is foretelling, right? You know, yesterday we saw two applications regarding prophets. This is foretelling. It's talking of what will happen in the future, right? To Paul. Okay, there was the word of knowledge. I told you foretelling involves the gift of prophecy plus revelatory gifts in operation. And in this case, this is a word of knowledge he gave Apostle Paul. It has to do with future event, supernatural revelation, right? Now he said, "So shall the Jews bind the hand and the foot and deliver him to the Gentiles." Verse 12. "And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place," they started begging Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Because they already know that he will be arrested, he will be bound. Agabus just prophesied that this is what is going to happen to Paul. Next verse. "Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break my heart?" He said, "Why are you weeping for me? Why are you crying for me? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of" what? "The Lord Jesus." Next verse. "And when he will not be persuaded," they were trying to discourage Paul from going to Jerusalem, knowing what will happen to him there. "But when they could not persuade him," he said, "when we will not be," that means even Dr. Luke was among the people. He said, "when," trying to tell Paul not to go. He said, "when," he said, "when he will not be persuaded, we ceased," that is, they gave up, saying, "the will of the Lord be done." Let me ask you a question. Which one was God's will? For Paul to go or not to go? Which one was God's will? Was it God's will for Paul to go to Jerusalem? Or was it Paul's will for Paul not to go to Jerusalem? Okay, let's read Acts 20. You will answer that question. Praise God. 22. Acts 20:22. He said, "And now behold, I go bound." "And now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem. Not knowing the things that shall befall me there." Next verse. "Save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth." "In every city, saying that what? Bonds and affliction abide me." Praise God. Then 24. He said, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God." Hallelujah. Now look at that verse 22 and 23 carefully of Acts 20. He said, "I go bound in the spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing what is waiting for me there. But the Holy Ghost witnessed." That's the listen. He was receiving a leading from the inward witness. When we looked at how God leads us, remember we said the commonest way is through the inward witness. He said the Holy Ghost is witnessing within him, prompting him, signaling him that what? Bonds and affliction, imprisonment and affliction is waiting for him. So in other words, the Holy Ghost had already pre-informed Paul what was waiting for him in Jerusalem. Remember, this is Acts 20. What we read earlier was Acts 21. So then in Acts 21, Prophet Agabus came. And what? Confirm. Can you see? This was the prophecy of Prophet Agabus. Was a confirmation. Did you notice that? Was a confirmation of what God had already told Paul one chapter before. That is in this Acts 20. So Agabus' prophecy came to confirm what God already informed Paul through the inward witness. Are you seeing this? Now let's go to that our question again. Was it God's will for Paul to go or not to go? Because the brethren, after Agabus, you know, they were not here when God was talking to Paul. It was through the inward witness. But when Agabus came and did prophetic drama, and he took Paul's girdle and bound his hand and foot. He said, "Thus saith the Lord, so shall the Jews in Jerusalem bind the owner of this girdle and deliver him to the Gentiles." The brethren started begging him, "I beg, don't go. When they could not persuade him, they said, "Let the will of God be done." So which of them was God's will? For him to go or for him not to go? For him to go, lift up your hand. Let's do the way they do it in Senate, Nigerian Senate, House of Rep. For him to go, if it is God's will for Paul to go to Jerusalem, lift up your hand. Lift it very well, oh. Keep it down. Now, if it is not God's will for Paul to go to Jerusalem, hands up. The people that are surprising me the most are those that did not lift hand for any. So these ones are on the fence. They are the worst category. In a battle, the enemy on both sides will shoot you once you are on the fence. Praise God. Is it not better to stay on one side? Praise God. It shows you are not sure. Actually, it's so clear. You understand? Just compare scripture with scripture. It was God's will for Paul to go. That was why the Holy Ghost told him. He said, "I go bound in the spirit." In other words, he was led.
And then by the inward witness, he was already pre-informed that trouble is awaiting you, persecution. Am I communicating? It was the will of God. The people were afraid for him after Agabus came to confirm it. But one thing they did not know was that God had already informed Paul ahead. So Paul was prepared for the persecution. Am I communicating? So the people begging him, the brethren, concerned brethren. Sometimes you want to do God's will, concerned brethren will be begging you. Ah, you won't go there. You won't do that. There's problem. You go so far. You feel that. They were begging Paul not to go. We are not led by people, we are led by the Spirit. If Paul had listened to them, do you know he will not go? He will be outside of God's will. He will go against God's will. Am I communicating? And anytime God leads, he gives you grace. No matter the persecution, there is grace for you. Because you are doing his will. Am I communicating? Am I communicating? So, the prophecy of Prophet Agabus was a confirmation to Paul. Okay? Now listen, anytime any man of God, anybody gives you a prophecy, is either, watch this, two of these two things must happen for you to accept that prophecy, for you to believe it. Number one, either that prophecy is a confirmation, okay, to you of what God have told you. Or number two, your spirit must bear witness with that prophecy that it is of God, it is from God. Sometimes the prophecy may not be anything that you God have told you before, as in it's totally new. Okay? For confirmation is not new. Okay? God already told you this person is confirming, so that one is not new. But sometimes it may be totally new to you, that prophecy. But how will you know it's still of God? Your spirit will bear witness that it is true. Because it is coming from the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. Your spirit will testify jointly that that thing is true. Before you believe it. If a prophetic word to you doesn't meet this true criteria, don't believe it. So it's either a confirmation of something God has told you before, or your spirit is bearing witness that it is true. But if your spirit does not agree with it, there is a problem. Keep it aside. Okay? Am I communicating? This is very important. So that's the first type. Number two is, first is confirmatory prophecy. Number two is creative prophecy. Creative. Somebody say creative. Creative prophecy. Now, we looked at two dimensions of prophecy yesterday, two applications regarding prophecy, which is the foretelling and the forthtelling. Telling forth. Am I communicating? We said that the forthtelling is a creative dimension. Unlike the foretelling, F-O-R-E. Foretelling, that one is the revelatory dimension that reveals. That one, it involves the revelation gift, the revelatory gift of the Spirit. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirit, together with the operation of the gift of prophecy. It reveals supernaturally. It's a predictory dimension. It predicts future event. Some people are using it to do Niger bet, Nigeria, Cote d'Ivoire, who go win? You know, there are some people that are abusing the gift of prophecy, that are abusing prophetic grace, using it to do football prediction. People consult them. It's an abuse of the anointing. Am I communicating? It's an abuse. Please don't do that. Tell your neighbor, don't use prophetic grace to play Naija bet or Naira bet. Don't use it for betting. It's an abuse. Praise God. How does that one edify? How does that one edify? You are supposed to use it for edification, exhortation, and comfort. You they use your own to play betting. We should knock your head. Praise God. I say praise God. So the creative dimension of prophecy is a dimension that creates future. It creates the future. It's a constructive dimension. The prophetic words spoken under the anointing, they are inundated with so much power that the prophetic word is so loaded with power that it has the ability to create whatever it talks about. Am I communicating? We saw it in that 2 Kings 7:1 when Elisha prophesied and said, by this time tomorrow. It was not revealing, that was not foretelling, it was telling forth. By this time tomorrow, by those prophetic words, he was creating the future. Are you listening? By this time tomorrow, a measure of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. And it came to pass in verse 18. It happened. That's a creative dimension. That was a dimension God operated to even create the world. The Bible says God said, light be, and light was. How did he create light? By those his prophetic words, spoken under the anointing, charged with God's power. Am I communicating? Creative miracles can happen when you function in this dimension. Your words create things. They don't just reveal, they create what should happen. Are you seeing this? Here, you are not revealing what is going to happen. You are creating the future. Yeah, you are creating what should happen with those anointed words under the influence of the Holy Spirit. It is said that the mighty prophet of God, William Marion Branham, he stood in the office of a prophet and also an evangelist. He was a leader of the Voice of Healing. You heard of the Voice of Healing revival? Okay, that Voice of Healing, 1948. He was a leader. Heavily prophetic. Dangerously prophetic. Many people know him for the foretelling dimension of the prophetic he operated. All this giving of names and all of that. He will even tell you what you heard yesterday. The guy was heavily prophetic. But many didn't know he also operated in this creative dimension. It is said that Branham will sit in a kind of in a forest or in a bush, and he will call forth things. He can call forth squirrel. The moment he calls it forth, squirrel appears. Am I communicating? Just like what God did in Genesis. He created squirrel with his words by speaking. Am I communicating? He spoke squirrels into being. The thing will just appear and run away. Powerful dimension. Am I communicating? Glory to God. I say glory to God. I say glory to God. I say glory to God. See, prophetic words can bail you out of situations. They can bail you out. This was the dimension. I think when Bishop Oyedepo was in Kaduna some years back, a church member came to him for prayer. He said, sir, my clothing business for the past Is it 1 month? Nobody has bought, no sales, nothing. And then he begged Bishop to come to his shop to pray. And Bishop appears to be passing through somewhere. He was traveling, going for a meeting. He passed through that area where the man's shop. He then remembered. He then stopped, entered the man's shop. He looked at all the clothes. And guess what Bishop said? He said, "Clothes, be gone." Bishop Oyedepo. He said, he was speaking to the clothes. He said, "Be gone in Jesus' name." And that was all. He entered the car and left. Do you know that same day, a big vehicle came and reversed, like a lorry came, parked in front of the shop of that same man that said no sales for the past 1 month. And the person came down, he said, "Ah," he said, "you have this," but he said, "this is the material we've been looking for." He said, "these are the things we've been looking for." They bought everything that day. How can you explain it? That's the creative dimension of the prophetic. How can you explain it? When prophetic words are released, they are charged with supernatural power and energy. See, they set both natural and spiritual forces in motion. Am I communicating? To bring that word to pass. Prophetic words, they always hit the bull's eye. They don't miss target. They are like guided missiles. There was a prophet that locked up the king. There was a king that got angry with a prophet because he didn't give positive prophecy. That he now locked him up. He said they should lock him up. Then the prophet told the king, in the Bible, I don't want to go into the details of the story, he said, "if you come back alive from this battle, God did not call me, I'm not sent." Do you know, the king, when he heard that prophecy that they are going to lose, he won't come back alive, the king disguised himself and went for that battle. As in, he didn't go as king so that they would target him. He disguised himself, went for that battle. Yet the Bible says somebody shot a stray bullet, an arrow. The thing, he hit him. He still got him. I'm telling you. And that was how he died. Prophetic words are like guided missiles. They hit the bull's eye. He couldn't escape it. Praise God. I say praise God. When Prophet Elisha gave that prophecy that by this time tomorrow, a measure of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Guess what? The angels heard it. And look at what the angels did to bring that word to pass. The angels started putting thoughts in the heart of those lepers that were outside the gate. Lepers were like outcasts those days. They don't mix with normal people. They were outside. Watch this. The angels, oh my God, you need to understand how these things work. Angels put those thoughts in their heart. Then suddenly they say, why are we sitting here? I do like this. Why sit we here till we die? Suddenly they get sense. Ask yourself, why didn't they think like that before that prophetic word came? They've been there for long ago. Such thought did not come to their mind until prophetic words were uttered. The angels started putting those thoughts. Says, why sit we here till we die? He said, if we enter the city, there is hunger and famine. We will die there. If we go to the Syrian camp that had besieged Samaria, the Syrians, if we go to their camp, If we take that risk, one of two things will happen. Either they kill us or they spare us alive. But at least we know they have food in their own camp. So if they spare us alive, we will not die of hunger. But if they kill us, after all, the other options are death too. Is it not death that is inside the city? Hunger and starvation. He said, if we sit here, we will die. We will remain here, we die. We enter the city, Samaria, we die of hunger and starvation. So they decided to take risk. Calculated risk. Praise God. He said, let's go to the camp of the Syrians. At least one of two things will happen. Either they arrest us and kill us, or they spare our life, and these people have plenty of food, so we eat. So they took risk. They started heading for the Syrian camp. And guess what? The Bible says God caused fire. God can make people hear things. God can make people hear things. God caused the Syrian to hear a mighty host. You know, when a mighty army is marching with chariot, you know the kind of sound. That was what God caused the enemy forces, the Syrians, to hear. But lo and behold, it was lepers that were coming, you know. Because prophecy must be fulfilled. Have you seen this? Look at it. The Lord made the host of the Syrians to hear the noise of the chariot, noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. Meanwhile, it's the lepers that are coming. Then they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittite, the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Next verse. Wherefore they arose and fled into the twilight and left their tents. Watch this. They left their tents, left their horses, their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their dear lives. They left everything. Malagabagada. Next verse. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and eat and drink of seafood. Are you seeing this? People that have not eaten for days. Seafood. Buffet. Buffet. Have you heard of buffet restaurant? There's what we call buffet restaurant. You pay at the gate. The moment you enter, everything you see, eat, because you've already paid for them. But the rule is that you don't go out. When you go out, your ticket don't expire. You have to pay another one. So you can eat, use toilet, come back for round two. Praise God. So this one looks like a buffet restaurant. Am I communicating? They enter one camp, seafood, they chop. Enter the next camp. Praise God. And then they looked at each other and said, Kai, we are not doing well. See abundance of food. And there is hunger and starvation in the camp. In the city of Samaria. I said, let's go and tell them the good news. Then if you read later, you will see how they went and told them the good news. And then, people that have not eaten, they started running, jumping. And that was it. That prophecy came to pass. There was so much abundance. Glory to God. That's the creative dimension of prophecy. You also see it in Ezekiel 37, in the Valley of Dry Bones. Next, comforting prophecy. Prophecy can bring comfort to people. People going through trials and affliction. Prophetic words can comfort. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3. Comforting prophecy. This one strengthens and encourages people. It strengthens them, it encourages them during trying times. Okay? During times of test, trials, afflictions, when they are going through problems. Glory to God. Have you been there that you went through some
rough times and then a prophetic word came and it comforted you. Am I communicating? He said, but he that prophesied speaketh unto men to what? Edification and what? Exhortation and what? Comfort. Glory to God. The next one is challenging prophecy. Challenging prophecy. Praise God. Challenging prophecy. Sometimes prophecy can challenge you. Challenging prophecy will provoke one to increase and release their faith by stepping out of their comfort zone. Hallelujah. I said, challenging prophecy will provoke one to increase and release their faith. It places a demand on your faith, okay? Will provoke one to increase and release their faith by stepping out of their comfort zone in the middle of adversity so that they can obtain and embrace what the Lord desires for them to have spiritually as well as naturally. Shall I take it again? Challenging prophecy will provoke one to increase and release their faith by stepping out of their comfort zone in the middle of adversity. In the middle of adversity. So that they can what? Obtain and embrace what the Lord desires for them to have spiritually as well as naturally. Okay? So this type, it puts a demand on your faith. Okay? It provokes you to step out in faith, even in the midst of adversity and challenges. Am I communicating? So that you can receive, obtain what the Lord has ordained for you, both spiritually and naturally. Glory to God. You know, sometimes people can become very comfortable staying in one spot, stuck in one spot. Meanwhile, God's will for them is to move to the next level. At such times, challenging prophecy can come to you. Am I communicating? That challenges you to increase and release your faith. Okay? It challenges you to step out in faith, out of the comfort zone, your comfort zone, to your next level, and receive what the Lord has already prepared for you. Glory to God. I say glory to God. In fact, the prophetic word for this year looks like a challenging prophecy for some of you. Praise God. Hallelujah. You are changing levels this year, oh. By fire, by thunder, by force. How do they say it? Nigeria, they say by fire, by thunder, by which one again? By earthquake. You are changing levels. Praise God. The next one is correctional prophecy. Correctional prophecy. Correctional prophecy. As the name implies, it brings correction. Correctional prophecy. Maybe you are going on the wrong path or doing the wrong thing. Praise God. Correctional prophecy may be necessary to align you, bring you to order, save you from the path of error and destruction, and locate you within God's perfect will. Correctional prophecy will correct one in love. Notice the correction is done in love. Not to prove a point that the person can prophesy. Not out of hatred or bitterness. Not even out of anger,
but out of love. Okay? Correction must be done in love. And the goal is to restore the person on the right path and within God's will. Am I communicating? Correction is needed. It makes the person better. And you, both the person giving the correction and the person receiving the correction, they must do it in the spirit of meekness. Somebody say meekness. Meekness. Meekness has to do with teachability and humility. Do you know that proud people don't like correction? Yes. How you will know that you have pride is your reaction when you are corrected. Just check how you react when somebody corrects you. It's a telltale sign. Because when you are corrected, your ego will be stung. And the natural thing is for your ego to start responding in pride. Proud people hate correction. In fact, they become angry when they are corrected. They will look for ways to justify their action. They will try, it will become an argument. They want to prove that they are right. Am I communicating? So, the person receiving the correction must be humble, must be teachable. The goal is to turn you from the wrong path to the right path, so that you don't get destroyed. Am I communicating? The person giving the correction to must do it with the spirit of meekness, not pride and arrogance, not anger. Am I communicating? And like I said, correction must be done in love. So the spirit of love and the spirit of meekness must be there. Praise God. And there's something about correction. Never do it out of anger. When you are angry, that's the wrongest time to correct somebody. Wait when you are no longer angry, so that you can now do it in love. Am I communicating? That's very important. Most corrections done in anger don't usually go well. In fact, both the person giving it and the person receiving it, there is a high chance that it will not work. There will be a problem. Praise God. So, correctional prophecy will correct one in love in order to help them see and rectify the constant errors that they are continually making in their lives or in the lives of others. Let me take it again. Correctional prophecy will correct one in love. Somebody say in love. In order to help them see and rectify the constant errors that they are continually making in their lives or in the lives of others. Praise God. I say praise God. I say praise God. And I say the goal of correction is to make the person better. It's not to batter the person. Even God corrects anyone that he loves. The goal of correction is not to condemn the person. Condemnation is not of love. Okay? It's not, the goal is not to condemn or shame or disgrace the person. Am I communicating? No. The goal is to what? Make the person better. To help the person to right their wrongs. To see that they are on the wrong path and make the necessary rectification. Am I communicating? To save them from destruction. Glory to God. Then, number 6. Rebuking prophets. Rebuke. Prophetic rebuke. Have you heard of prophetic rebuke before? Eh? Rebuking prophets. You know, Sometimes people are stubborn and adamant. If after several corrections you refuse to change, and even God sees that your heart is hardened, you have refused to change, then you will soon receive a prophetic rebuke. Praise God. Some people can be very stubborn. Even them, they know that what they are doing is wrong, but they have refused to stop it. That is where you receive a prophetic rebuke. Am I communicating? And if after several rebuke you refuse to change, though, your judgment is coming, and it's not God's fault. That is how some people get destroyed. Praise God. God have done everything to save this person, but the person remains obstinate, stubborn, refuses to repent. Then the person have set himself or herself up for destruction. Satan takes advantage of that person and destroys them. Praise God. That is not your portion in Jesus' name. Rebuking prophecy, we express sharp and stern disapproval of something. It will express what? Sharp and stern disapproval of something. Comma. It may also include a reprimanding process. A reprimanding process. Praise God. I say praise God. I say praise God. Then number 7, the last one, edification prophecy. Edification. Give me that 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3 again. Edification. Somebody say edification prophecy. To edify means to build up. Edification prophecy will build up. It will build people up. It will build up the church. It will build up lives and destiny. It will build up families. Edification prophecy will build up, comma, establish, instruct, and improve individuals, groups, church, etc. Okay? Edification prophecy will build up, comma, it will establish, it will instruct, and what? It will improve. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14:3. He said, but he that prophesied speaketh unto men to what? Edification and what? Exhortation and comfort. Give us in NIV. NIV. New International Version. He said, but everyone who prophesies speak to men for what? For their strengthening. Encouragement and what? And comfort. So, can you see that one of the meaning of edification is what? Somebody says strengthening. It's one of the meaning. To edify means to build up, to strengthen, to establish, hallelujah, to improve, to upgrade. Glory to God. I say glory to God. To establish. That's what that prophecy does. You see, prophecy does not tear people down. Glory to God. It does not destroy people. Okay? I'm talking of people of God now. Okay? Now, give me Ephesians 4:11. Ephesians 4:11. It says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and what? Teachers. Next verse. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Can you see that the fivefold ministry gift was given to the body of Christ? And look at their responsibility. It says, their job is for the perfecting of the saint, including the office of a prophet. So the prophecies of a prophet must culminate in what? Edifying the saint. Perfecting the saint. Edifying the saint. He does that through the preaching of God's word. You know, a prophet can preach under divine inspiration. He can preach God's word. He can also teach under divine inspiration. So through the preaching and teaching of God's word, a prophet can perfect the body of Christ and then can edify or build up the body. Another way a prophet can do that is through prophesying, through prophecy. Prophecy can edify the body. That's why we're talking about what? Edification prophecy. Hallelujah. We close with this. A case study of Balaam. Who was Balaam? Give me Numbers 22 from verse 1. Who is who in the Bible? Was Balaam a true prophet of God? Or was Balaam a false prophet? Who was Balaam? Praise God. Let's do a little study so that you will see some differences between prophecy and soothsaying or divination. Balaam is a very good case study that will bring a lot of light. Now watch this. Numbers 22:11. He said, the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. Verse 2. And Balak, the son of Zippor, that's the king of the Moabites, he saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. He saw how Israel, with the help of God, defeated Sihon, king of the Amorites, and they took over his land. Am I communicating? He saw how they destroyed them, including Og of Bashan. They finished those people. He became afraid. Next verse. And Moab was so afraid of the people. He was afraid of God's covenant people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. Next verse. And Moab said unto the elders of the Midian, now shall this company lick up. You see, he says, the children of Israel, that company, this company, lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. Verse 5. What did he do? Look at what the king did. He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Petor, that's where he lived, okay, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people. Actually, is the river Euphrates. That Petor where he lived is close to river Euphrates. He said to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Next verse. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me these people, for they are too mighty for me. You see that? So, in other words, that curse will give him the supernatural advantage, right? Say, come and curse them. Come and empower them to fail. Empower them spiritually to lose this battle. He was looking for supernatural advantage. He says, peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, that I may drive them out of the land, for I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he who thou cursest is cursed. Wow, the guy was so powerful. Anybody he blessed is blessed. Even the king, he was so popular. Balak, he knew. Next verse. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards. Notice that. They departed with what? They didn't go empty-handed, though. The elders, they departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam, and they spake unto him the words of Balak. Can you see that? And next verse. So they came with the rewards of divination. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. You see, he says God was speaking to him. Watch this. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. Next verse. And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? Next verse. And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, he said, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, cause me them. Peradventure, I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. Verse 12. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Can you shout amen? Amen. Say with me, the name of Jesus. I am too blessed to be cursed. The blessing upon my life has swallowed up every form of curse. Generational blessing have swallowed up generational curses in my life. He said, you can't curse them, they are already blessed. Verse 13. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refused to give me leave to go with you. Verse 14. And the princes of Moab rose up and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refused to come with us. Verse 15. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. You see this king? Very smart man. More honorable princes this time around. Verse 16. And they came to Balaam and said unto him, thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. Next verse. For I will promote thee, wow, unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou seest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me these people. Hallelujah. It's a long reading. You can take time, study Numbers from chapter 22 to 24. You will see a lot about Balaam. Now, let's come to the question now. Who was Balaam? Was he a true prophet of God? Or was he a false prophet? Let's talk. What do you think? Huh? See different answers now. God comes to this man. Oh, he talks to him. Pastor Nwanku, what do you think? Huh? Okay. Let's explore the Bible, okay? The answer to Bible questions are in the Bible. All you need to do is to rightly divide the word of truth. One principle of Bible interpretation is that never interpret any verse in isolation. Interpret every verse of the Bible in context, and then make sure you check other references that talks about that same thing. Am I communicating? Now let's look at all the scripture apart from these Numbers 22, 23, 24. Let's look at the other part of the Bible that talks about Balaam. Then when we put them together, we'll now come back and see the answer to the question. I'm teaching you how to study the Bible. Okay? So you don't just study one portion and then draw conclusion. Check all the other references within the Bible. That everywhere Balaam was mentioned in the Bible, you have to study it. Then you now put everything together and draw conclusion. Are you ready for the journey? Okay, let's move to Deuteronomy. Okay? Of course, Numbers 22, 23, 24 talked about Balaam. Okay? Deuteronomy 23, verse 4 and 5. Deuteronomy 23, verse 4 and 5. He said, because they met you not with bread and with water in the way when ye came out of Egypt, and because they hired, is talking, if verse 3, I said 3 and 4, right? Okay, let's start from 3. He said, an Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into what? The congregation of the Lord. Even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Why? Look at the reason. Because they didn't meet you with bread and with water in the way. God was talking to the children of Israel. He said, an Ammonite or a Moabite, okay, will not enter into the congregation of the Lord, because they met you not with bread and water in the way when ye came out of Egypt, and because they hired. Which of them hired? Is it the Ammonite or the Moabites? The Moabites. Balak, king of the Moabites, he hired, he said, because they hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor, of Petor, of Mesopotamia. Aya, can you see more details now? So, number one, notice that Balaam was hired. So, he was a machinery prophet. He was a machinery, like they hired him. They went, remember, the princes of Moab, they went with the rewards of divination. They went with his wages to hire him, to pay him money. In other words, if you don't come with money, so his business, pure business for him. Am I communicating? People hire him, and the distance that they travel, because from Moab to Petor in Mesopotamia, where Balaam was living, was over 400 miles. Somebody help me do the calculation. How many kilometers is that? 400 miles. It was very far. Now, for the king of Moab, Balak, to have heard that there is somebody like that, that has such ability, that means he was very famous. He was well renowned. In fact, some Bible scholars said in his time, in that region, he was the best person for the job, as the best courser. The best courser. If you want to curse anybody, just go and hire Balaam. Pay him money. Go with your whatever price he tells you. It's pure business. And it is said that his family, as in, they are known for that. His whole family, they are known for it. It's a family business. It's like a family specialty for them. People come to hire them for this purpose. He was very good at it. You know, you don't recommend anyhow people to kings. It has to be the best. That's why I say he was the best courser. Some of you are laughing. In that region, his fame was everywhere. That was why the king of Balak got to know him. Praise God. As somebody does that calculation, 400 miles, the distance from that the princes of Moab that went to hire Balaam, they traveled 400 miles to Mesopotamia in Petor. Eh? Have you checked? 600 and what? 43 kilometers. How much is here to Jos? How many kilometers is here to Jos? That's to tell you how many hours journey. Sorry, from here to Abuja. From here to Abuja is how many kilometers? Roughly. So it's like times two. It's like times two from here to Abuja. That's to tell you the distance those princes traveled. 8 hours plus or more. Are you getting me? And then there were no cars. It was horses. donkeys. That's to tell you he was that famous. He was in Mesopotamia. Who can you remember was in Mesopotamia in the Bible that lived there? Think. Abraham. You know what? We'll put the pieces together. Give me Joshua 13:22. Joshua 13:22. Another place that Balaam was mentioned in the Bible. Joshua 13:22. Is it Balaam also the son of Beor? The suit say, can it be clearer? Can it be clearer than this? The suit say, yeah. So, have you gotten the answer to the question now? This is how to study the Bible. So, you don't pick scriptures in isolation. You compare scriptures with scriptures. Praise God. Oh, we'll come to that. We'll come to that. You think because he's a soothsayer, God cannot talk to you? God used a donkey to talk. Is it a soothsayer that God cannot use? Praise God. God can use anybody, even animals, to communicate if he wants to. Am I communicating? God can use anybody, but it does not mean the person is approved by God. That's another thing you need to know. Have you forgotten in Matthew 7, those false prophets? He said, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? They prophesied in his name, but it's not a sign that they were approved by God. It's not a stamp of approval. Are you seeing this? And then, secondly, I'm trying to answer that question. I'm going ahead of myself. That why did God talk to him? Balaam was, he knew some things about the God of Israel. He's not totally ignorant. Remember his location, Mesopotamia. Now listen, Mesopotamia was where Abraham's father lived. Abraham lived in Mesopotamia. And the people there, they were astrologers. Am I communicating? And astrology is a department of soothsaying. Is a department of divination. And they had these priest diviners there. That was what the people are known for there. Before God called Abraham, he said, leave your father's house, leave that environment to a land I will show you. And remember, when Abraham wanted to marry, when Isaac, his son, wanted to marry, he sent his servant, Eliezer, and he made him swear, he said, put your hand on my thigh, that you will not get wife from the children of the Canaanite. He said, you will go to my place. So the servant had to go back to Mesopotamia to look for a wife for Isaac. The same thing, the story of Jacob. Am I communicating? So Balaam, he has read a lot. He is acquainted with the God of Israel. Even though he himself was practicing what we call polytheism. You know what we call polytheism? They believe in more than one God. Are you getting me? Monotheism is the belief in only one God and you worship one God. But Balaam, according to Bible scholars, he was a polytheist. As in, anybody that hires him, he knows how to buy, but he knows how to do all those his sacrifice and then consult with that particular God the people are worshiping. The guy is skilled at it. Remember when they called him, he made altars. Eh? Are you seeing this? He knew how to summon gods. He knew how to assess the realm of the spirits through those sacrifices and all of that, and take up his oracle. Am I communicating? When he came, he said, make 7 altars. And he told Balak, put 7 altars. Then get me 7 rams and put those sacrifices. He knew that sacrifice is the language of the spirit realm. It's like the password. And then he summoned, and then God came to him, and God spoke to him. He heard the voice of God. Am I communicating? Now, if it was a Philistine that called him, he knew how to summon and hear from their gods. He practiced polytheism. Are you seeing this? Let's move on. He says, Balaam, the son of Beor. And by the way, do you know the meaning of Balaam? The meaning of his name in the Hebrew? Devourer. Who bears that name? Who has a similar name in the Bible? Satan. Balaam means devourer of people. In fact, some Bible scholars give the complete meaning. Devourer of people. Literally, that's the meaning of Balaam. Are you seeing that? He's a machinery diviner, Balaam. He's a soothsayer. So Balaam is not a true prophet of God. Okay? As you will see other reference to him in the Bible. All the reference in scripture to Balaam, none of them was good. That's to tell you the character of his person. Are you getting me? And we say one of the ways you know true prophets of God is through their character, the fruit of the Spirit. Not all those gifts they are manifesting. Check their character. Check the character of Balaam. Can you see any godly character there? He was greedy. His own is business. You don't pay, he doesn't divine for you. People come to hire him. And then you later hear the Bible talks of the wages of divination. The greed, and then the error of Balaam, the way of Balaam, then the doctrine of Balaam. We'll look at it. Are you getting my point? Study his character in scripture. Was he a good man? Are you getting my point? The type of prophet that if you don't come with money to pay him, he will not give you his service. Is that how genuine prophets of God operate? The Bible says the gift and callings of God are without repentance. Jesus said, freely I have given you, freely what? Give. Do we charge you for prophesying to you? Or maybe I should start charging so that I will resemble Balaam. Then you will now find out whether I'm true or I'm false. Praise God. We don't charge. But Balaam, it was their family business. He was known for that. That was his job. That was his trade. He was a machinery false prophet, a machinery diviner. People come from different part of the region surrounding, within and outside. They come to hire him, for him to either curse or bless. Am I communicating? And then they pay him. The Bible even calls it the reward of divination. That's to tell you that it was divination he was practicing. It was divination. That's why they have to pay him. Glory to God. He said, Balaam also, the son of Beor, the soothsayer, did the children of Israel slay with the sword. Can you see? He was later killed. He was slain with the sword among them that were slain by them. You saw how he ended. He was killed by the same children of Israel that he was hired to curse. He was later killed. Then look at another scripture that talked about him. Joshua 24:9-10. Joshua 24:9-10. So make no mistake about it. Balaam was a false prophet. Balaam was a Mesopotamian soothsayer. Well renowned. He was the best curser of his day. He was a diviner from Mesopotamia. He said, then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel. You know, they were recounting the story here. And sent and called Balaam, the son of Peor. Do you know that the meaning of Balaam's father's name, Peor? It means burning. Burning, as in fire burning. Am I communicating? Do you know the way of Balak, the king of the Moabite? Devastator. So devastator went and hired devourer to finish God's covenant people. What a demonic gang up. Can you imagine? He said, he sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. Next verse. Did he succeed? No. But I will not hearken unto Balaam. This is God saying. I will not listen to him. Therefore, he blessed you still. Three times he blessed them. Can you remember the story? So I delivered you out of his hand. Praise God. Then 2 Peter 2:15. Now let's come to the New Testament. This is even the ultimate in Bible interpretation. What does the New Testament say about Balaam? Let's see. Three scriptures. 2 Peter 2 verse 15. 2 Peter 2:15. It says, which are forsaking the right way, okay, and are gone astray, following what? The way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of divination. Can you see this? His love for money, his greed and covetousness. Can you see his character there? He's already giving him out. Are you seeing that? So he started with the way of Balaam, which is the way of what? Greedy longing for gain, the love of money, mammon. Okay? The spirit of mammon and the spirit of divination, they work together. Remember that slave girl that brought her master's much gain? That was the wages of divination they were paying for her services. Okay? The second scripture in the New Testament that talks about Balaam is Jude 11. Jude has only one chapter. Jude chapter 1 verse 11. Or Jude verse 11. He said, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily. Somebody say greedily. They ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. Which reward? The reward of divination. The Bible says they ran greedily. That means Balaam was greedy for money. Are you seeing this? Can you see all the reference to Balaam in the Bible, in the New Testament? None of them is good. Are you seeing this? Next verse. Okay, wait. Then he talked about those that perish in the gainsaying of Korah. Okay, the last one, Revelation 2:14. The last reference in the New Testament. I round up with this. Revelation 2:14. He said, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that what? Hold what? The doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak. Can you see this? Can you see this? Peter talked about the way of Balaam. Jude talked about the error of Balaam. Revelation talks about the doctrine. So it has been, what started as a way that was not corrected became an error. And that error was not corrected, before you know, it became a doctrine, a teaching. The doctrine of Balaam. What was the doctrine? Who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel? What was that stumbling block? To eat things sacrificed unto idols. idolatry, and to commit fornication. That's sexual immorality. Numbers 25. Go and study it. You know, when Balak hired Balaam to curse God's covenant people, he could not curse them. 3 times he tried. Instead of any time he wanted to pronounce curse, God would turn the curse in his mouth into a blessing. It happened once. He changed location. He did all those, his 7 altars and all of that. He tried to curse them. God turned it into a blessing. By the time it happened the 3rd time, Balak became angry. He said, I called you to curse these people. He said, now you have blessed them 3 times. He said, stop. Don't curse them again. Don't bless them again. The guy got tired. And guess the strategy that this soothsayer, Balaam, finally gave Balak, so that God will now turn against his people. Look at what he told him. He gave him this doctrine of Balaam, that let the Moabite woman seduce the Israelite men. Seduction, sexual immorality. Say, let them seduce them. And that was what they did, though. They used that. Study it, Numbers 25. Is there? They started sleeping around with the Moabite woman, and the anger of God was kindled. And then, not just that they were committing sexual immorality, whoredom. The Bible said they were following them to worship their idols. That is idolatry. You see the component of the doctrine of Balaam. What was the goal? Through that sin, so that God will release judgment on them. That's to tell you that Balaam knew some things about the God of Israel. I told you, he lived in the same area that Abraham was born. Are you seeing this? He has some information. He could even give this guy this strategy. And the Bible said, the anger of God burned, judgment. 24,000 people died because of that sexual immorality. And what? A plague broke out. An idolatry. A plague broke out. 24,000 Israelites died. Am I communicating? Do we have the doctrine of Balaam today? Yes. Are you learning something? Kelabakosa frakataya. Mandabakoso frakapataya. Elegebrakatakatakata. You will never be a victim of this. I say you will never be a victim of this. Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. Listen. Is it possible that somebody like Balaam can yield to spirit of divination, demonic spirit, or familiar spirits, evil spirits? He can yield to them and then they reveal and show him things supernaturally. And the same person can also yield to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Is that possible? As you can see, the Bible says God was speaking to him, right? And then God was showing him things. Is it possible? Yes. It's very possible. Can you remember Peter? When Peter yielded to the Holy Spirit, when Jesus said, who do men say I am? Peter said, you are son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Who was that Father? It's the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said, my Father which dwelleth in me, he performed the miracles. In John 14:10. He was talking of the Holy Spirit. So Peter in 1 minute yielded to the Holy Spirit, and he received the revelation of the Christ. Then that's Matthew 16. Then if you read down 23 or so, you will see where Jesus started announcing to them his mission. He said, the Son of Man is going to Jerusalem. He will be betrayed into the hands of wicked people. They will kill him on the third day. He will be dead. He will be buried on the third day. He will arose. The Bible says Peter took Jesus to one corner and started rebuking him. He said, "This will not happen to you." And by the way, Peter's senior Jesus in terms of age. And Peter was married. He had a mother-in-law. Jesus was not married. So he had every natural criteria. He started rebuking Jesus. He said, "None of these things will happen to you." Then hear what Jesus said. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He didn't say Peter. Jesus could discern that this is not Peter speaking. What has happened? Peter, the same Peter that yielded to the Holy Spirit few minutes ago, he has yielded to satanic spirit. He has yielded to a wrong spirit now. Are you seeing this? He says, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savourest not the things which be of God, but things which be of men." The same Peter. So never make mistake about this. Somebody can yield to the Holy Spirit. He can also yield to familiar spirits. Listen. We have some false prophets that are soothsayers. Listen. That are soothsayers, diviners, operating with demonic. They are into occult. These ones are demonic, as in they are agent of Satan, full blown, masquerading as prophets, but we know they are false. Then listen, then we have those that are genuinely called of God, that are called to be prophets. Are you getting me? That are born again, that are children of God, but they yield to spirit of divination and familiar spirits. Somebody say how? The same way Peter too yielded to Satan. If they don't take consecration serious, am I communicating? As in, they don't spend time in prayer, they don't spend time with the word of God, they are not consecrated to God, they are allowing the works of the flesh, those kind of prophets that sleep around with women, fornicating, getting involved in adultery, you understand, getting involved in those works of the flesh, you know what, they open themselves up to the influence of demonic spirits. There are many of them like that. Are you seeing this? There is a way a prophet, especially those that like to perform to entertain people. You know, when your goal is to glorify yourself or to shine, to show people you can prophesy, you are very close to being influenced by familiar spirits. Because listen, it's not every time that the anointing to prophesy is upon you as a prophet. So you have to learn to discern when the anointing to prophesy is not there. What should you do? Just go ahead, teach people God's word, preach, lead people in prayer, and get out. It's not compulsory. Never come under pressure that you must prophesy all the time, because this is where many prophets miss it. The anointing to prophesy is not there, but there is an expectation, as in they are under pressure to perform, to impress the people. So they will now force themselves, and as they are forcing themselves, familiar spirits will help them. They will end up yielding to familiar spirits. Are you seeing this? Is this one a hard saying, what I'm teaching you? Is this one bone? Now bone, now they give you now to chop. In fact, the funny part is that those prophets at that point, they may not even know that it's not the Holy Spirit, it's familiar. That's even the worst part. They may not even know. It will take somebody with high level of discernment to know. Am I communicating? They may not know. Praise God. I say praise God. Kali go bagadaya. Ebrekedegedegedegede. Lagapura baka satanas. These things I'm telling you, they happen. These things are with us. We are seeing them every day. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Even in this Jaws, there are some false prophets operating. They call it church. Some of them even have churches. There are some of you that have attended their churches. Eh? Yes. There was somebody here in AGMI that joined AGMI. I had to tell him that he should not attend that church again forever, because I know that that person there is a false prophet. I was the one that told him. I said, don't ever go there again. That person is not of God. See, this end time, discernment is very critical. Are you getting me? Discernment is very important. You have to be careful. That's why the Bible says, don't despise prophecies. You know, sometimes when we preach like this, some people will now close up. They don't believe in the prophetic again. It's a lie, yo. The fake is proof that there is original. I said the fake is proof that there is original. Anything God does, Satan tries to counterfeit it. So we will not stop believing in the prophetic just because they are fakes and charlatans here and there. Am I communicating? The wisdom is in discernment. And I say you discern primarily with the help of the Holy Spirit in your spirit, and you discern based on the word of God. Check their lifestyle, check their character, and then check the way they operate. Is it in line with the Bible? Am I communicating? Don't just go by the manifestations. They will easily deceive you if you go by that. And then there is something again about those people. You will never feel the presence of God. I didn't say you will not see power manifestations or prophecies and all of that. You will never feel or sense God's presence in their meetings. Things will be happening, you know. They will be calling, prophesying, calling all those things. Things will be happening. You may even be seeing them fake power moves. But the presence of God is never in their meeting. Because God is not the source of all those manifestations. So, if God is not the source, who is the source? Satan. But do you know the bigger issue? Many of God's children, they are not acquainted with God's presence. And that is where they get deceived. If you are not acquainted with God's presence, how will you know when the thing is not in a meeting? When you enter those kind of meetings in which a false prophet is manifesting and masquerading as a true prophet of God, and you don't know how the presence of God feel like, that means you can easily be deceived. You will think that it's God that is doing those things there. But if you are acquainted with the presence of God through fellowship and intimacy, it's so easy to spot. See, I'm not bragging, but me, if I ever enter any of such meeting, just give me 5 minutes, I will tell you whether this thing is of God or not. Because I'm acquainted with God's presence. Am I communicating? I can tell when the presence of God is not in a place, no matter the manifestations there. Are you getting me? This is very important. The power of God follows the presence of God. So, the power is from God, the presence of God will be there to validate that is the source of the power, is the source of that ability to prophesy. As you have seen, you always see in AGMI meeting, the presence of God so strong, and then the power of God manifesting. But in those people's meeting, you will never sense the presence of God. Even though all those prophecy will be happening, all those manifestations are happening, but no presence. You can fake power, you cannot fake presence. Am I communicating? You can fake prophecies, but you cannot fake God's presence. So anyone that is from God will be validated and confirmed by God's manifest presence. Glory to God. I say glory to God. And then you must know God's word. Okay? You must know God's word, or else you can easily be deceived. Lift up your hands. Say, Father, I receive grace for discernment. I receive grace. Go ahead and talk to him. In 1-2 minutes. In 1-2 minutes. In 1-2 minutes. In 1-2 minutes. Kabalatoze bregedege bragadi. La pate. I can never be deceived by those deceiving devils. Spirit of divination, soothsaying, mashila gabadai. I receive grace for discernment. Mashopote. I will never be a victim. Labatuze peletena. Randoko frakasida. Kalabaronde gebrekete ketus. Kapalatina brakatai. Eliga brande gebose peletena. Magapakuska palakida. Sapalatena. Rogoboto. Rogoboto. La frakonde keligobo ragabadi. La brande keposke peletena. Magabakataka brakataya. Kalabarundu bregedege boske peletena. La bregedo sheli bragabagadi. La grasko brakatai. In the name of Jesus. Did you notice that Balak, king of the Moabite, hired Balaam to curse God's people so that he can overcome and prevail over them and defeat them in battle? Are you getting me? In other words, soothsayers can curse people. They can release spells. Am I communicating? They can release enchantments, invocations, incantations. Am I communicating? To bewitch people, to cast a spell, to destroy. I want you to lift up your voice. Now you are going to pray for yourself and for your family that every form of curse, every palakida, every demonic diviner, every enchanter, every soothsayer, every witch, every wizard, every sorcerer, every demonic priest that has released a curse or a spell or incantation or has released enchantment against you or against your family, we command them to be swallowed up by the blessing. We command those curses, those spells against you and your family by the power of the blessing. We command them to be swallowed up. Shalagabadai. We neutralize them. We nullify them. Labatizo balatena. Randekepa. Jagabagadagabrakatai. Lafeketeke bora balatina. We command them to be swallowed up in victory. We make them of none effect. In the name of Jesus. Give me Numbers 23:23. As we are praying, deliverance is coming to families. I'm telling you, don't joke with this prayer. Because some families, this is what is limiting them. Some families, this is what is militating against their lives and destinies. Some diabolic personalities in partnership with Satan, they have released enchantments. They have released certain incantations, invocations. They have released spells, katakido kapatai, curses, that is fighting the destinies of some people. Somebody say, if they release them, will they work? Listen, no, except a higher power swallows them up, those things will work. When a curse is released, it will keep working, it will work, except it collides with a greater power. And not everybody have the understanding that you have. And ignorance is not an excuse in the realm of the spirit. Am I communicating? Ignorance is no excuse. Now you, it's easy for it not to work against you because you have light, you have revelation, you have understanding that you are a new creation in Christ. You understand generational blessing, the blessing of Abraham. And that has saved you from ignorance. But what of your family members that are still playing religion, that are ignorant of all these things? You think when they release those things, it will not work? Are you getting me? So that's why you have to pray for them. Are you getting me? You have to pray for your family. He says, surely, tell your neighbor, surely. It's not maybe, surely. There is no enchantment against Jacob. Neither is there any divination. And it is Balaam the diviner that was saying these things. However, he was saying it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They hired him. He was a diviner. Yet, look at what he was saying by divine inspiration. There is no enchantment. He tried to use enchantment against them. It didn't work. He tried to do divination against Jacob. Neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob of Israel, what has God wrought? Give me this in Message translation. Kalabatuza baladia. Let's look at a few translations and then we pray and prophesy. He said, no magic, no magic spells can bind Jacob. No incantations can hold back Israel. Say with me, in the name of Jesus, no magic spells can bind me and my family. Say, no incantations can hold back me and my family. Give me another translation. Give me NIV, NLT, NIV, NLT. Kalabashaka balagadia, Rondo brokotos getia, Charm cycles at our feet. Alabarido kovragada. There is no sorcery against Jacob. Can you remember this sorcerer that bewitched Samaria? What's that his name? Simon the sorcerer. The Bible says for a long time before Philip came and did crusade, for a long time he bewitched the entire people of Samaria. So a city can be bewitched. If a city can be bewitched, is it a family that cannot be bewitched? A nation can be bewitched. Paul said, oh foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Now listen, you are going to pray. Akaligo Bagadia. He said, no sorcery against Jacob. No divination against Israel. Give me NLT. New Living Translation. Maka Porakata. Hey, can it be clearer? He said, no curse. No generational curse. No fayagabaliga brakatai. No ancestral curse. No curse can touch Jacob. No magic has any power against Israel. Say with me in the name of Jesus. No curse can touch me and my family. Say in the name of Jesus. No magic has any power against me and my family. Lift up your voice and fire prayer. We neutralize curses. We neutralize magic charms. We command them to be swallowed up. Jalia kula bate zebeleto kabrande keba egabagada kabrakadai. We break their influence. Leseketeke brakataya egombalatiza lakabrande kebosa. Every curse over any family represented, every magical spell release to fight the destiny of any family represented. We command them to be swallowed up. We command them to be swallowed up. Kalabora Zabaladia. By a higher power,
We command them to be swallowed up. Shalemoko silagada, leketo sepeletina, agabalabaya. We shatter them. Deliverance is happening to families. Families are stepping into their prophetic destinies. Limitations are being broken. Negative demonic patterns, they are being broken. Satanic demonic patterns. Demonic evil pattern, negative satanic patterns of failures, of frustration, of poverty, of limitations, kalabura kapatai, of sickness, negative demonic patterns of disfavor, ayagabagadai, of sorrow, of pain, they have been broken. They are ending now. They are being broken. They are being shattered. Kabaleya balatanas. Koropo sepelete. We swallow them up in victory by the superior power of God. Mashatabaya. Family limitations are broken. God has broken the gate of brass. God has cut the bars of iron asunder. Families are stepping into their prophetic destinies. Kaleya labaragabagadai. Mande gebura kapata. Zula baraka bagatai. Evrendo sebeletia. Joko bogodogo brogodo. Shatatatata. Kele gede 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 gede. Shobronde geba lakida. Kalabaronde geba gada. Something is happening. Mashata. Livaraskapa. Listen. Lift up your hands. In the name of Jesus, I pray for you and your family. Every soothsayer, every demonic diviner, every witch doctor, every diabolic demonic priest that have risen against you and your family, every spell, every curse pronounced against you and your family, every enchantment, in the name of Jesus, I command them to be broken to pieces. I command them to be swallowed up in victory. In the name of Jesus. Listen, every witch, every wizard, every sorcerer, every soothsayer that has vowed against you and your family, that have released sorcery, enchantment, incantations to kill, steal, and destroy, in the name of Jesus, I stand with the rod of a higher priesthood. I come with the rod of power and scepter of authority. I command them to be broken to pieces. Malege balagadia. Such diabolic entities and personalities that have vowed that you and your family will not fulfill your prophetic destiny, I come with the rod of power and scepter of authority, and I decree and declare they are swallowed up in victory. I release prophetic dagger of judgment upon such evil men and evil women, upon every witch doctor, sorcerer, diviner, in the name of Jesus. The hand of the Lord is against them in this season. Some of them, within 1 week, they are dead. Except they repent, they are dead and buried. They will not escape this prophetic dance. See, if you start hearing news about some things, don't be surprised. Is this prayer? They will not escape this prophetic dagger of judgment, the wild wind of the Lord. The Bible says, he shall land upon the head of the wicked. I command the wild wind of the Lord to land on their head. They shall be visited of the Lord tonight. The Lord will visit them with thunder. The Lord will visit them with whirlwind. The Lord will visit them with earthquake. The Lord will visit them with tempest. In the name of Jesus. The Lord will visit them with judgmental fire. I said the Lord will visit them with judgmental fire. He said, for by fire and the sword the Lord will plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. Katoliga badia. He said, in the day of his anger he shall fill the place with dead bodies. The Lord will strike through kings in the day of his anger. Ayagabaru de geba lasu freketena. Every of such evil men, evil women, lazila gabadia, that has vowed not to let you go, that has vowed not to let your family go, I prophesy they go for you tonight. They go down for you tonight. They go down for you tonight. Those that say over their dead body for you to make it in life. Those that have said over their dead body for you to be blessed, for you to marry, for you to have your children, for you to have breakthrough, to fulfill your destiny. Those that say over their dead body for you to build your own house, to buy your own car, to walk in your prophetic destiny. Listen, I am anointed to announce to them the answer to their prayer. They say over their dead body, and I say in the name of Jesus, they are dead. They are dead. In the name of Jesus, nothing can stop you and your family 2024. Nothing can stop you from fulfilling your prophetic destiny. Come on, go ahead and rejoice. Give the Lord a sound of praise. Give the Lord a sound of praise. It's a new season for you and your family. Barriers are broken. Limitations are lifted. Shale gobora gabagadaya. Just go ahead and appreciate the Lord. Shale boko sefelete. Father, we thank you. Kila Bakosa, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your power. Thank you, Father, for shifting us to a new level. Thank you for your word that came to us. Thank you for understanding. We give you the praise in Jesus' name.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sazon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.